All right, what are we talking about today? Cortisol.
Yeah.
Comes up a lot.
Oh yeah.
Cortisol. What is cortisol? It's a hormone.
Yeah.
What's cortisol?
What's cortisol?
Why is cortisol?
Let's start by what is cortisol.
Cortisol is a hormone.
Yes.
But it's not a hormone like the ones we're mostly familiar with. You know, we think sex hormones.
Most people think testosterone or estrogen.
Exactly.
You need to get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, it is a steroid hormone though.
Cortisol.
Much like testosterone. However.
What's a steroid hormone?
It's a signaling hormone, right? Okay. So something that like signals in your body. But it's got, testosterone and cortisol, these signaling things, once they, you can think of it of like a key in a lock. Once its key is turned in your body, it creates a whole bunch of effects, right?
Just quickly, slightly off track. Is that why a steroid is called a steroid, is because it produces that signal in your body, like an anabolic steroid?
No, that's not why that's why a hormone is called a hormone. But anyway.
Okay, so there's no link. What's the link then between the word steroid?
Zero link. A steroid is a man-made form of testosterone, isn't it?
No. A steroid is a specific type of signaling molecule. In your body. Good. Right?
Okay, thank you.
A specific type of hormone.
There are different types of steroids.
Yeah.
Cortico and your hormonal style of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like testosterone.
Correct.
That makes sense. That's the answer I was after.
Right. Yeah.
We'll double check that after this podcast.
Yeah. Fact checkers.
Fact check that.
It's like a 30-second disclaimer. Jesus.
Anyway.
Back to cortisol.
Cortisol. What is it? Well, anyway.
It's a hormone. Is it a stress hormone? Is it a bad hormone?
They call it the stress hormone because you release cortisol when you stress. But it's actually...
Are there any benefits to cortisol?
Well, it's a catabolic hormone, right? And like we know what catabolic and anabolic are because we've talked about that previously. But, you know, anabolic means... putting smaller pieces together, such as building muscle from smaller pieces.
And catabolic,
which is cortisol, means breaking things down into smaller pieces. So, you know, you can think about it. Everything comes back to your fight or flight response, right? You know, when you have a bit of stress, you need a bit more energy in your body. Think about it like that. You might break down some muscle to produce that energy that's, giving you more energy to escape.
Which one's breaking down again? Cortisol.
Catabolic. Cortisol.
Cortisol.
The opposite can be thought of like testosterone or insulin, which are anabolic, which help build things.
So
right?
in the sporting world, cortisol is known as a bad thing because it is catabolic mainly to the body, right?
Yeah. But is it really as bad thing as it's made out to be?
You tell me.
Well, let's go on a journey here, right? So, when you work out, right, and the more intense your workout, you know, the closer you are to failure, the more stressful that workout is. Not just talking about, existential stress, but physical stress on your body, right? So, there's a theory that, you know, why work out if you're just exposing yourself to these stresses, you know? Isn't that bad for you? So
that's what Manzoni said to me a while ago.
Yeah, isn't exercise bad because you're just stressing yourself?
What's finding that balance?
Well,
don't exercise, just relax.
No, it comes back to something called homeostasis, right? It's your hormetic response. So the stress from exercise is good, right? Because the stress causes your body to adapt to it.
The stress from exercise from my session.
Correct.
It's Where it becomes tricky with cortisol is...
Well, no, so where I was going with this is, right? So you get these...
Quality, that was real quality.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you get these acute spikes of cortisol throughout the day and, following certain activities. So, you know, with these larger cortisol spikes from an intense workout, your body adapts to this and, you know, the greater the stress, the greater the adaptation, right? So, but also the greater recovery you need, so...
You also would want to work up to that. I can't imagine you'd want to go from not exercising at all to jumping straight into a 2 to 3 hour high intense exercise workout.
So can you get that intensity and that sort of stress on your body without the release of cortisol as well?
Well, you can do things to blunt the stress, right? If you take some very high quality antioxidants or something like that.
But you want that stress, but not to the point where you're producing bucket loads of cortisol, which is sort of counteracting that, right?
Do you not want some cortisol?
Correct. You want cortisol, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you want it acutely, right? You don't want chronic cortisol, right?
For yourself.
Living a stressful life like, Hal's. What's the easiest way to put this? He's got a lot of numbers in his phone. So when you got a lot of your mind's in a lot of places, you get stressed out. So that kind of stress probably isn't helping you, because that's chronic stress.
Right.
You got to go through a cycle of acute stress.
So stress related to a workout rather than sort of repetitive stress from stressful life, stress from other factors, diet and nutrition and overtraining and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's why I said before, like a singular session. So you want that stress from a singular session, but you don't want to repeat that type of stress on your body day in, day out across everything as well. So if you're training 7 days a week, you might be creating too much of that stress.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think that's likely?
Well,
that's where overtraining comes in, and cortisol production, one of the main contributors is overtraining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a lot of endurance athletes get sort of stuck in this overtraining pattern, and that's why a lot of them lose a lot of muscle tissue as well.
What would be the difference then between overtraining to the point where it's, you're having too much cortisol in your body compared to the point where it's just your limbs and your joints and your muscles just can't take it anymore?
What's the difference? Like, cortisol is the result of that, right? And it's very involved in your inflammatory processes, right? Like, excluding an injury from overtraining when you're not paying attention, inflammation and even your immunity from overtraining, can arise from these acute, from having too much cortisol for too long, right?
So what are some of the main causes of cortisol production? What can stimulate more cortisol?
Well, remember, cortisol is not a bad thing, right?
No,
So your body naturally produces cortisol throughout the day. And like the main thing that's related to, how your body produces cortisol is actually your circadian rhythm, right? So throughout the day, about 7 to 15 times per day, you're going to release pulses of cortisol.
Mm-hmm. So maintaining a good circadian rhythm. So that would essentially lead to making sure you're getting enough sleep.
Correct. So like if you don't get enough sleep, you mess up your cortisol patterns. You don't, regulate this properly.
So sleep is a big contributing factor.
Yeah. Well, that is your circadian rhythm, isn't it? Your sleep pattern.
Yeah.
Yep.
But also, making sure you get enough light exposure and these kind of things, just, things that are generally good for your
circadian. Vitamin D.
Yeah. Things are generally good for your circadian rhythm.
Circadian rhythm. Right. So sleep, training volume.
Yes.
This gets talked about heaps. Like, it's finding this balance of training enough, but not training too much. And I know that differs from person to person, sport to sport, activity to activity. But
yeah, and your experience level as well, right? Like how much you can personally train. Mm.
Yeah.
So
Some people might be able to train 7 days a week because they're already used to training five, whereas some people it might not be appropriate because they don't train at all. And then going straight to a everyday workout may not be the best idea.
Yeah. And remember, training is a holistic thing on your body, right? Like, you can't really think of cortisol in isolation as one kind of side effect from training, right? Like, there's a lot of changes that happen in your body every time you exercise. And, when you exercise too much, you're going to have too much cortisol and too much inflammation. If you exercise too little, the stress is not going to be, enough to stimulate this
adaptation.
Exactly. You're going to get less of an adaptation. So, you're going to get less gains at the end of the day.
So that's one impact of cortisol, I guess, to cover all of that is sports performance. What about fat loss and weight loss? What is the influence of cortisol there?
So, like we just talked about, cortisol is a catabolic hormone, right? So it's involved in breaking down, muscle into amino acids, which go through your liver, and these can actually create glucose in your system. Mm-hmm. The process called gluconeogenesis, right? So when you have too much glucose in your system, you're not necessarily going to prioritize food as an energy source, because you know glucose in your blood is the most efficient, most readily available energy source.
So it could impact weight loss, and it could impact the ability to maintain or grow muscle.
Does cortisol help you break down your fat storage into energy when you're exercising?
Yeah, no, it helps break down
the fat.
Yeah, so what's going to determine whether you gain weight or not is still a calorie surplus or a calorie deficit, but cortisol is going to be breaking these things down into more readily available energy sources. But cortisol also has a psychological effect, right? Remember, calories in first, calories out is what matters the most. But cortisol can impact your appetite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're stressed, you tend to overeat, and then you ruin that key equation.
So
and
stress is a contributing factor as well, not sort of just workout-related stress,
life stress, chronic stress, right? Yep. But again, you get the acute stress from a workout, you get hungry,
yes. Right?
Like that's, part of the response. You know, you want to eat to recover from the stress that you just came through. And, it's your body's way of regulating itself. So stress, recover, forces you to recover, forces you to sleep, forces you to, eat, and then you adapt. So.
Right. So three contributors: sleep, training, stress. Anything else? What about nutritionally? Is anything impacting cortisol? Nutrition, like alcohol or coffee or anything like that?
Yeah, so
damn it.
Do you know where cortisol gets produced?
The liver.
Close.
The brain.
Close, but
the
both.
The pancreas or the kidneys?
All of those are wrong, except for the kidneys, because it's made on your adrenal glands, which kind of sit on top of your kidneys. But so kidneys are still wrong.
So it's your adrenal glands.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your adrenal glands, right? So
so things like caffeine would impact it.
Yeah, so your adrenal glands are involved in a lot of processes in your body, and a lot of foods can impact how this functions. And if you're getting too much stuff in, adrenal insufficiency is a thing that occurs.
So is the goal to minimize cortisol, apart from what your body's naturally sort of producing throughout the day, is the goal to try and minimize cortisol production
as much as
possible?
Repeat that question.
What is that?
Because you were distracted.
No, I was just like...
He's looking to his brain.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my notes.
Everything I've ever heard is let's try to eliminate any sort of exterior ways of that might increase cortisol.
I think the key is to understand that chronic cortisol and acute cortisol.
Two different things,
right? You don't want to have chronically elevated cortisol levels. So that comes from your lifestyle, making sure you get enough sleep, making sure you get...
More like repeated bad patterns of,
Yeah.
Overtraining, alcohol all the time, caffeine all the time, poor sleep, then it becomes chronic.
Exactly.
Where if it's just stress from one or two workouts, manageable.
Yeah. Although, overtraining can be detrimental, but like we said, acute cortisol is just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's no point hating cortisol just because it's a catabolic hormone. It has a very important function in your body.
What about if you're training too long in the one session as well? Like you hear that, limit your workouts to 40 minutes to an hour, or you go over this certain time, your body's going to start producing too much cortisol.
Yeah, they say if you work up around an hour, that's when the cortisol productions are going to start ramping up.
Mm-hmm. Probably different for everyone.
It's different for everyone, but does that mean limit your workouts to an hour only? No, because it's going to ramp up because of the impact of that exercise. The stressor is the exercise; it's getting higher. So you're going to adapt more.
But it depends on the type of training you're doing as well, right? If you're doing a high volume style workout over a 2 hour period versus what you do in a gym for powerlifting over a 2 hour period.
Well, actually the intensity.
Yeah. It has a major impact on.
If you're doing high volume, close to maximal failure, that's basically, the killer cortisol range, right?
So if you're doing that style of workout, then you do want to limit it to 40 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why you don't want to max out, every week in and out, because you're just not going to adapt. You're not going to recover correctly from that. So,
Are you disagreeing with Mike Mensa? go to failure on everything?
Is he related to Vic Mensa?
No.
No. It's a bodybuilding joke.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get it.
I can tell.
No bush. So what? Again, is there?
How can you tell? How? What are the ways to tell that if your body is producing too much cortisol? Will you know, or is it like a?
I think
fatigue and tiredness. You getting notice you're not lifting as much, or.
Well, I think intrinsically, you know when you're stressed, and you self-reflect. You can understand when you've been stressed for a long time, and then you know if you see your performance suffering from that.
Changes in body composition if nothing else has changed too much.
Yeah, exactly. You can probably, self-reflect and understand that you're under a bit of stress and that's probably impacting you.
I have heard before actually that is quite common is someone who starts, and it's always work, but someone who starts a new job with no other change in their lifestyle, be it nutrition or exercise or anything, will notice themselves putting on weight just as a result of that stress. I've heard that before many times actually. So, stay cool.
Yeah.
Things to mitigate. Chill out. I think stress is probably a huge contributing factor. But what do we do to mitigate cortisol production?
Make sure you get your sufficient sleep every night. Mm-hmm. Probably top of the list. You know,
allowing recovery days.
Get some sunshine. Just to ensure that, especially in the mornings and the evenings, to ensure that your circadian rhythm is well regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have too many numbers in your phone, you know, simple things can help you avoid stress, right? Like, you know.
So life stresses,
everybody sleep. Goes,
numbers on the board, baby.
Everybody goes through, you know, stressful periods in life. Mm. But, you know, there's always ways to react to it and adapt to it. Another way to potentially help you is, you know, some tools like meditation or yoga.
Breath work.
I love the Musashi nighttime aminos. They help me sleep a lot.
They do. Heaps of people that use that product love it. It's probably one of our most underrated, unknown products, but it is good for that.
Yeah, probably not the best seller, but the ones that do buy it are in love with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
I've got to have it every time.
What other supplements would help with eliminating or mitigating cortisol production and stress?
Well, you know, if you take it back to the stress from the workout, if you're not correctly recovering from that workout, you're not correctly adapting to it.
Mm.
So, you know, if you have insufficient protein, you're probably not recovering as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have too much inflammation in your body, that's another sign of chronic stress.
Are there any ingredients or supplements that you can use to help with stress? And obviously we just talked about sleep.
Yeah, I think vitamins, protein, that's probably top of the list.
Yep.
Sweet. Ibuprofen? You just mentioned inflammation.
That is actually one of the worst things for inflammation.
Really?
Well, you know, it's immediate. In the short term, it's very good for inflammation, right? Yeah. It inhibits your enzyme that produces these inflammatory things in your body.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's a crutch, right? It's not really going to help you adapt to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I guess long ongoing use of it probably not great.
Yeah.
It has an impact on gut health too, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
A lot of inflammation is sort of driven or led from your gut health.
Inflammation also has a bad reputation like cortisol, but, you know, it has an important role in your body.
Mm.
Right. Injury recovery, immunity, muscle recovery, all of that is...
Even that rice method post-injury now, it's sort of like get the ice straight on the injury.
I don't know about that. It's a bit of... It's debatable.
Ice. Still debatable?
Yeah.
All the things I hear now, I've just done sort of like a first aid thing through the NRL. They're now saying let the inflammation happen initially. Yeah,
exactly.
Because that's the body's response to sort of delivering nutrients and all that and protecting that injury.
Which is why, you know, ice straight away sometimes might not be the best. But anyway.
I've heard the same recently, actually.
But after, they say still apply ice, but give it like 2 to 3 days after that initial inflammatory sort of swelling response.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's interesting. There's so much debatable, so many debatable topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Fascinating.
Cortisol, are you up or down?
What?
What?
Yes or no? Are you pro-cortisol or anti-cortisol?
I don't think you can be pro or anti.
Are you pro-cortisol or anti-cortisol? It's a simple question, mate. There's two answers.
No, some things in life you don't need an opinion on.
Yeah. I'm personally pro-cortisol. I'm pro-cortisol.
You're pro-carbon dioxide?
Huh? No, viciously anti-carbon dioxide. I knew it.
Are you? Why?
I don't agree with their policies.
Let's not get into that. Yeah. You get us taken off YouTube.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we've covered cortisol. We've just had a few questions lately on it, so it's good to quickly cover that off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And here we go. Darren's stretch of a Musashi quote.
Well, I think Musashi actually has a pretty good one.
Oh. You say that every week and it's straight cap.
All right. Okay. This is from the Book of Five Rings.
Do not engage in sword fights longer than 1 hour.
Okay, this is what Musashi says. Both in fighting and in everyday life, you should be determined through calm. Meet the situation without tenseness, yet not recklessly, so your spirit settled, yet unbiased. Even when your spirit is calm, do not let your body relax. When your body is relaxed, do not let your spirit slacken. Do not let your spirit be influenced by your body.
I'm cutting you off.
Or do not let your body be influenced by your spirit.
No, you have taken the word stress so literally, and you came up with that because you
the word calm is in there. Exactly.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was probably your best one.
Don't let your spirit influence your body. Don't let your body influence your spirit.
Okay.
You know? There's no more to say.
Don't let spirits influence my body.
Your spirit.
But that's why I drink them.
Nice. Yeah. All right, that's enough for today.
Yeah, don't let your body influence your spirit too.
See you all in the next episode. Musashi out.
I do apologize.